T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On another warm afternoon in upstate South Carolina, welcome into the final hour of The Huddle today on ESPN Upstate's. Greg McKinney and Lonzo here. Richmond off today. He's back with us tomorrow. You can join the conversation at any time via telephone at 844-477-3776. Text line 71307, keyword ESPN to start. And Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Don't forget to listen live on your smartphone. Radio.com is the app where you'll find us. So just go to radio.com, download the app, and then search for ESPN Upstate and favorite us there. You can listen anytime to our programming here on ESPN Upstate. 3 o'clock, let's get to our three questions of the day. We have two guys answering three questions today because Richmond is out of here. Let's get to it. Question one.
I say one of us could pretend to be Richmond, but I don't think I could recreate his voice. It's
probably
very unique. All right. The Charlotte Hornets have traded Dwight Howard for Timofey Mozgov. Still, I mean, you automatically think it's a typo. And
Timofey.
You want to correct it. Timofey Mozgov. Is the Hornets strategy? You got me.
You give me the soccer reading?
Yeah. Is the Hornets strategy making sense to you? I'm thinking it's so much in your head that you did it wrong, and I just, yeah.
Yeah, strategy is, yeah. To me, and since our normal number one guy on the first question is not here, I'll jump in. To me, I can't say that it is, but I feel better about it the more I read about it. The more I read about Dwight Howard in the locker room and how he was a problem, you know, and we suspected he was, but there's more and more coming out. It's funny when they trade you away, all the bad stuff comes out, isn't it? And the more I read about that, they needed to dump Dwight Howard. I still think maybe a shrewd negotiator could have gotten a little more for Dwight Howard than Timofey Mozgov and a couple of second-round picks. But the second-round picks are significant here. Maybe Mozgov helps the locker room. But he's not going to be as productive as Dwight Howard. He doesn't have to be. They get the picks. They get rid of Dwight Howard's salary. It keeps him under the luxury tax. After hearing more and more about that, I'm going to believe in Mitch for now, in Kupchak for now. In Kupchak, we trust for now. But I'm not overwhelmed by the brilliance of this yet. This is not as big as step two, step three, step four down the road for the whatever it is, rebuild, redo strategy for the Charlotte Hornets. But I'll give them a pass on this one so far. How about you?
You know, as you were just pointing out, was the first thing I was going to say. This is just the first step of whatever is to come in the plan. And I compare this to, and I'm not saying that Dwight Howard is trash, but I compare this to, you haven't taken the trash out yet. It's smelly. You know you need to take it out. You finally take it out, but the smell still lingers a little bit, so you got to bring something in to mask the smell until you can get to the store and buy something to really, really get rid of that smell.
So Timofey Mozgov is an air freshener.
He is. That's exactly what he is. not top-of-the-line air freshener, not the kind that just that negates all smell, but it's pleasant enough when it gets there that it masks what was there before that's lingering, and then further on down the road, you get something that will make you look back and go, yeah, that was the first step of a great plan.
Yeah, you got to clean up before you start to build. And apparently Dwight Howard was bad enough that Kupchak felt like, yeah, we're going to have to do that first and then do some other things that make sense down the road. So we'll both give him an okay on that for now. All right, question two.
Okay, what do you make of Phil Mickelson's apology today?
Well, let me tell you what he said.
Good, because
so put it in perspective.
I didn't know.
Because you know that Phil Mickelson hit a moving ball at the U.S. Open and got the two-stroke penalty, and it just kind of overwhelmed the U.S. Open on Saturday. It just kind of took over the discussion of the U.S. Open on Saturday. Brooks Koepka won it on Sunday, but everybody was talking about Mickelson, and he came out after the Saturday round and said it was just a strategy move. He knew it would be a two-stroke penalty. He didn't want to keep putting back and forth across that green where the ball wouldn't stop. So no disrespect to the game. If people were offended, then, you know, I didn't mean it that way, and that's on them. Stuff like that. It was kind of defiant, I guess. Well, today, after a few days to think about it, Mickelson, in a statement, said, I know this should have come sooner. It's taken me a few days to calm down. My anger and frustration got the best of me last weekend. I'm embarrassed and disappointed by my actions. It was clearly not my finest moment, and I'm sorry. All right? You accept that?
Kind of. Here's the thing. I think he's just doing this because of the outcry. I think his original thing that he said afterwards is really why he did it and how he felt about it. But now, you know, all the purists, everyone, and it's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's something everyone's talking about. He's hoping to quell all the noise, get rid of that, so he can just go back to playing golf and being treated as he has before. So you issue this apology thinking it will go away. So I don't buy it completely. I think originally what he said is what he meant. He did it on purpose to make a point, and his point was made. I don't know that it did anything other than get everybody mad at him.
All right, well, just for clarity now, he didn't say he did it to make a point. I believe he did too. I believe it was frustration and to make a point. But what he said was it was a strategic move, and I don't believe that for a minute. It never made sense as a strategy move. I mean, he hit the ball while it was moving. That's one shot. And then he got a two-stroke penalty. So it took him three shots to get to wherever that ball stopped. And he could have gotten it to that point or better with three shots from off the edge of the green. So never made sense as a strategy move for me. But yes, I believe he's being honest when he says he was frustrated. And that's all I wanted from him after the U.S. Open over the weekend, is to say, hey, I just boiled over. I just got mad. I lost it. Lost my cool. He didn't want to admit that. He was Phil Mickelson, Mr. Cool and Collected. Everything I do for a reason after the round on Saturday. But of course that wasn't the case. So I'm glad he finally came clean and said that. You know, and we'll get past it. I don't think people are going to hang on to this forever. Jordan Spieth, by the way, said this. He said, Phil knows the rules. If there was a chance it was going to go way back beyond the bunker and he got to chip back down or he was going to play off the green anyway, he could be potentially saving himself a shot. So if that was the intent, what's the harm in that? He's playing for the best score he can. He said, I don't think people thought that was the intent, but I'll take his word that it was the intent. Well, it wasn't the intent. It wasn't the intent. It was a strategy move. And Phil's basically admitting that today when he says, I just got hot. I lost it. I lost my cool.
Is this enough to make everyone let it go?
Yeah. Don't you think? What are you going to do?
I'm wondering, will someone be vocal in the gallery and get kicked out?
Oh, yeah. Somebody in the gallery might say. Next time he putts, run, hit it, Phil. Hit it, Phil. It's rolling. He deserves that. He deserved it. I'd be okay with that. All right, final question.
An article on ESPN.com today names the most exciting player on each top 25 college football team. Christian Wilkins gets the nod for Clemson, Deebo Samuel for South Carolina. Agree or disagree?
Is it me again?
Sure. It's whoever you say it is. If you want me to go first, I can go first.
Go ahead.
All right, as far as South Carolina goes, yes. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Let's hope he can stay healthy, and the future is bright as far as Deebo Samuel goes. For Clemson, I am shocked that a certain long-haired quarterback who may or may not play this year is not the person they picked.
Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
You stole my answer. Would you name Trevor Lawrence the most exciting player on the Clemson football team when he hasn't played a down? Would you do that?
If you're looking at the definition of excitement, that's all anybody's talking about. Yeah, they're not talking about all these guys coming back on the defense. They're not talking about all the other weapons they have. They're just talking about the fact that Trevor Lawrence should be starting over Kelly Bryant. Mm-hmm. So that's excitement right there. especially with the fan base.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, they're talking collectively about the defensive line, and I got that. But I don't think Christian Wilkins is head and shoulders above the other guys on the defensive line. So to pick one of them out and say he's the most exciting player, and I get why they picked Christian Wilkins. You know, he had that offensive play, and he's, you know, entertaining, dancing, and all the stuff that he's done. But I'm with you. It's Trevor Lawrence. Without having played a down, that's the most exciting guy. That's the guy people are talking about for Clemson, and it's not close. Nobody is a close second as far as talked about players for the Clemson Tigers. And if they're talking about you, that means they think you're exciting just based on potential. So it's Trevor Lawrence. Here's what the ESPN article said about Christian Wilkins. You have to go defensive line here, and it's hard to pick just one player. Yeah, that's why I wouldn't do it. Wilkins gets the nod in part because few expected him to still be at Clemson. He's a rare combination of size, athleticism, and instincts, and a real treat for everyone except Clemson's opponents to have him in college football. Wilkins has 26 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, 43 quarterback hurries, and 14 pass breakups in his incredible career. Okay, but people aren't talking about Christian Wilkins. Not at the level that they're talking about Trevor Lawrence. On South Carolina, Deebo Samuel's clearly the choice. ESPN says, if you thought South Carolina's offense was better than expected last season, then get ready for what comes next. The Gamecocks won 9 games without their most dynamic offensive weapon in Samuel, who is simultaneously one of the best receivers in the SEC as well as one of the best return specialists in the conference, if not the best. No debate about that. And people a couple years ago probably would have expected Jake Manley to have that nod, but didn't happen that way.
I'm guessing if you asked Jake Bentley, he would say Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, probably so. Only to be fair. I was just looking at the most exciting players for a couple of other of the top 25 teams. For Alabama, it's a guy who hasn't even won the starting quarterback job there as well. Tua, must-see TV because of what he did in the national championship. For Ohio State, got a pick for your Buckeyes?
Bosa.
Running back J.K. Dobbins.
That works.
With a jump cut that at times looks like the football cousin of an Allen Iverson crossover. Dobbins produced plenty of did you see that moments as a freshman. Buckeyes are stacked at their skill positions this fall, but the power and speed of this Texas back make him stand out above the talented pack. Interesting at Georgia, they're going with DeAndre Swift, the running back. You know, this is life without Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. And DeAndre Swift is the next guy in line. He had 7.8 yards a carry, 3 rushes of 40 yards or more in limited playing time last year with Chubb and Michelle there. So running back at Georgia, not Jake Fromm. Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, the quarterback, who is, by the way, as rich as the coach there, Lincoln Riley, because Kyler Murray signed a $4.6 million contract to play baseball with the Oakland Athletics. But he's back as the quarterback at Oklahoma right now. Could be a Heisman contender. Who else is of interest on here? Running back Alec Sinkfield for West Virginia, a running back, not Will Grier. It's kind of interesting. Most people might have gone with Will Grier, the quarterback. Trace McSorley at Penn State, quarterback. Bryce Love at Stanford, no argument there. Josh Jackson at Virginia Tech, just talked about how he's back in good standing with the academic issue taken care of there. Nick Fitzgerald, quarterback at Mississippi State. Certainly makes sense. Mackenzie Milton, good quarterback at Central Florida. At Auburn, it's a wide receiver. A wide receiver. Do you see that Auburn offense against Clemson last year? They need somebody to step up on offense. Wide receiver Devin Barrett. Look out for him. Now, they have Eli Stove, but he had ACL surgery, so not sure how effective he is going to be. And for Texas A&M, running back Travion Williams. Clemson will get an afternoon full of him coming up in that second game of the season. He's been lost in the shuffle the past couple of seasons. There have been a bunch of good running backs in the SEC. But don't sleep on Travion Williams. 1,790 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 38 receptions so far at Texas A&M for him. So that's some of the list of the most exciting player on the top 25 teams. All right, got to take another break. 844-477-3776. Going to talk about Kawhi Leonard coming up as the Spurs try to figure out if they can keep him around as we turn to some NBA discussion. Back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. So valiant effort by the Braves falls a little short this afternoon in Toronto. Braves got two runs in the top of the ninth inning, but they needed one more. They fall 5-4 to the Blue Jays, so now the Braves are 43-30 on the season. Two hits on the day for Kirk Suzuki, including a home run. I believe it was his eighth of the season. And Anibal Sanchez with his first loss of the year. He got kind of roughed up early in the game. Gave up four runs on five hits, all earned runs. Did have seven strikeouts, but four walks today. So he's now 3-1 on the season. J.A. Happ gets the win for Toronto, now 9-3 on the season. So the Braves drop one here. And depending on what the Nationals do, they may drop a game with their 3.5 game leads. Now down to 3 games in the National League East. We'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. Reports are that Greg Popovich went yesterday to Southern California and met with Kawhi Leonard prior to tomorrow night's NBA draft. He's been trying to set that meeting up for a while now, trying to repair the fractured relationship with the All-NBA forward, who has said he would like to be traded, preferably to Los Angeles, preferably specifically to the LA Lakers, has privately maintained he no longer wants to play in San Antonio. So we'll see if what Popovich said to Kawhi Leonard yesterday makes any difference. Or will they trade Kawhi Leonard? And if so, to who for whom? Ramona Shelburne at ESPN says trading for Kawhi Leonard right now would be a risk for any team.
Yeah, the Spurs don't have to trade him where he wants to go. He's still under contract for a year. And from what I understand, his rehabilitation work has been going really well. His training's going really well. It looks like he'll be healthy for the season. He'll be ready to go. And so you get a year's worth of Kawhi Leonard, and that's a year's worth to try to convince him to stay. That's a pretty big risk. And the teams that have assets like that who would be willing to take a risk like that, I don't know. That's blowing up a good young team. If you're talking about Boston, talking about Philly, like those kind of offers, it's hard to make your best offer if you don't really feel confident that the guy's going to stay beyond a year. So now you're talking more about teams that are just going to throw a Hail Mary, right? We hope we talk and see if Sacramento does something or Phoenix does something, Memphis does something, and just try to, okay, let's do something for a year and see what happens. But it's clearly not the best way for the Spurs to get a great return for him.
Not mentioning the Cleveland Cavaliers keeping LeBron and getting Kawhi.
I noticed that. I was waiting.
No, you didn't mention them. But I wouldn't say that's off the table. Most teams that pick in the top 10 in the draft tomorrow night, maybe all teams, have at least contacted the Spurs about Kawhi Leonard, basically saying keep us in the loop. Teams outside the top 10 in picks tomorrow night that we know have done that include the Boston Celtics, the L.A. Lakers, and the L.A. Clippers. Here's what Zach Lowe at ESPN says. Some teams know they don't have enough. Okay, some suitors know they don't have enough to get him. In theory, almost no team should pony up their best assets for a player who could bolt in a year. That's basically what Ramona was saying. Could be gone in a year, so you don't want to give up too much here. With Leonard obtaining some kind of insurance about him re-signing, assurance that he would re-sign, may not be possible. No one knows whether they can trust the word of the advisors around Kawhi Leonard. There are deep suspicions that Leonard already has set his eyes on the Lakers, that that's where he's going, period. They can work it out. But Leonard's a bona fide top five player, finished second in the MVP voting in 2016, third in MVP voting in 2017, and it can take a long time to get a guy that can do that. But unless Leonard signals a willingness to consider staying with rebuilding teams beyond L.A., don't look for anybody to trade their best players for Kawhi Leonard. So if Boston's being mentioned, who would they trade for Kawhi Leonard? Jaylen Brown has been mentioned. Now you'd probably trade Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard if you could work that out, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
probably do that.
Him and a couple guys.
Yeah. But, you know.
Although, if you're Boston, think about it. You made trades for big stars, and both those stars got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Would that make you a little leery of doing it again?
Boston can be okay without this, right?
I would think so. I mean, because next year is going to be like you just brought in a couple guys. I know they had Kyrie for half the season, but
right.
You didn't have Hayward. So if Hayward is ready to go and you got those two back, it's like you brought in a couple free agents.
Yeah, I would be inclined, if I'm Boston and I'm running that team, to look, if I can get him for a low price, okay, but I'd be inclined to ride with what I have. Knowing you're getting those guys back, I would probably do that. We'll see. And what happens in the trade tomorrow night might be a tip about what teams are thinking. So in the draft tomorrow night. So NBA draft tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here on ESPN Upstate. DeAndre Ayton expected to be the first pick, expected to go to the Phoenix Suns with the number one overall pick. He's a 7'1" big man from Arizona, so that would be a hometown pick that would be popular there in the Phoenix area. He was asked today to define what success in the NBA looks like to him. He said, getting to my second contract would be my success. That could raise some eyebrows, because sometimes the politically correct answer to a question like that is team success. But he's now wanting to get my second contract. Well, the honesty you kind of appreciate.
Yeah, second contract's where you get paid.
That's right. Get the money. He's just 19 years old. And by the way, he later said that if he got to his second contract, that would likely indicate his team has been successful. You know, maybe. Depending on the criteria he meets early in his career, Ayton could be eligible for a second contract worth in excess of $100 million. His four-year rookie contract projected to start at $8.2 million his first season. He'd be eligible for a rookie extension after his third year. He was asked about the possibility of playing with Suns guard Devin Booker. He said, I can pick and pop. Devin is a threat coming off the pick. That'd be pretty hard to guard. Ayton signed a multi-year endorsement contract with Puma earlier this week. He's from the Bahamas. He said today he feels honored to have the chance to be a role model for young children growing up in his home country. So, look for DeAndre Ayton. It'd be a surprise if the Suns go any direction other than Ayton with the number one pick in the NBA draft coming up tomorrow night. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Back after this break in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Thanks for hanging out in the huddle today. Last chance for calls here, the last 20 minutes of the show, 844-477-3776. You can text us, 71307, use the keyword ESPN. They finally got started at the College World Series with that Arkansas-Texas Tech game. Just had the first pitch a few minutes ago. So a 3.5-hour delay today because of weather after not being able to play it last night as originally scheduled. So given that start time, it's probably going to push back the scheduled 7 o'clock start tonight for Oregon State and North Carolina in an elimination game. But that's the only other game scheduled for the day, so should be able to get back on schedule with those two games, weather permitting, for the rest of the day in Omaha. Over at Clemson today, Athletic Director Dan Radakovich met with the media, updated some Clemson storylines for the summer. He said on Brad Brownell, the basketball coach, that they're very close to a new contract. Said they're on the 5-yard line. Then he said, well, I guess that's a football analogy. But very, very close, prepared to take it to the Board of Trustees for ratification and approval. So, you know, Brad Brownell, after getting the Tigers to the Sweet 16 this past year, in line for a new contract, and they seem to be very close to making that happen over there. They are also close to hiring a replacement for Tim Beray, the longtime sports information director at Clemson. Been there 40 years. His official retirement date is July 1st. And Radakovich said that Dabo Swinney has been involved in the hiring process for that. And why not? That's the sport at Clemson for sure. So you would think Dabo would have a say in who Tim Beray's replacement is. He said it's going to be a day-to-day contact for him and the football program, the SID. So maybe an announcement pretty soon coming up on the new SID taking over for the legend Tim Beray over there at Clemson. Couple of other updates. Season ticket sales for football, 58,000 so far. Over 58,000. They're closing in on a record. Not surprised by that, are you?
No, I thought they would have already been gone by now.
Yeah. Getting into certainly the middle of the summer when everybody's thinking football, they'll sell some more. So I think they'll get the record there. They are going to demolish at the end of this season the IPTE building right at the corner of the stadium and build a new one in the same spot. So that's a construction update. They're also...
What goes on in the IPTE building?
IPTE stuff.
Okay.
I don't know what they have in there. You know, that's the fundraising arm.
Yeah, I know what IPTE is. I didn't know if it was a building, if they sponsored it and it was for a specific thing for the team.
I don't know what they do in there. Yeah. It's for I pay $1,000 a year now, I think. I'm just kidding. But
I'm guessing it's probably more than that.
Well, it was 20. That's what IPTE originally meant. I pay 20 a year. So who knows what the T stands for these days. Also, he was asked, Radakovich was asked about alcohol sales at home sporting events. That's a growing issue in college sports. He says, not on our radar right now. Not interested at this point in any alcohol sales at home sporting events. But, you know, some schools have started to get into that. I wouldn't expect Clemson to be a leader in that area, right?
That's taken care of outside the stadium.
Well, yeah, that's the funny thing about it is you say, yeah, we wouldn't do that. And you go out in the parking lot and see what's going on. But
yeah, that tailgating scene's pretty happening.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You certainly have to go far to find the alcohol. And, you know, it's certainly coming in college sports. The pace is different at different locations. And, again, I don't think Clemson would be front and center on it, but wouldn't rule out them doing that at some point down the road. Overall, he talked about the success of this year at Clemson all the way around. Very successful. Of course, football speaks for itself. The soccer programs were good. They feel good about the volleyball program. The basketball team making the Sweet 16 was big. Women's tennis made the NCAA tournament, he said, and that was big. Golf teams were really good this year, both men's and women's. The men lost the ACC by one stroke, but then made it to the NCAA finals. And then baseball, 47 wins, despite not advancing out of that home regional, so... pretty good year for Clemson Athletics. D-Rat is right about that. So no groundbreaking news there. I guess the biggest news is getting close on Brad Brownell's contract extension, and we'll expect that to come up pretty quickly here for Clemson. Final break. We'll come back and wrap up the huddle for this afternoon. Next on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Welcome back in to the huddle final segment with Greg McKinney and Lonzo in the huddle. 844-477-3776 is our number. Arkansas has jumped out on Texas Tech in this afternoon's late starting game in the College World Series. Started just a few minutes ago, 3.5 hours behind schedule, but Arkansas gets 2 runs in the first inning. So bottom of the first, Arkansas 2 and Texas Tech nothing. Elimination game tonight between Oregon State and North Carolina to follow. Probably delayed just a bit from the 7 o'clock scheduled start because of the rain delay earlier today. There are rednecks all over America.
I have a theory there are rednecks in every country.
Probably rednecks everywhere, yeah. There are rednecks in New Mexico. I would say these guys qualify. A wrestling coach in New Mexico has been arrested for hitting another coach with his car during an argument. KOB Television in Albuquerque reports that Robertson wrestling coach Mark Martinez, 41 years old, has been charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, his car, and leaving the scene of an accident resulting in great bodily harm. Now, how did this happen? How did this wrestling coach hit another coach with his car? Well, it seems that they had gotten into an argument over text messages back in May, and the victim told police they agreed they would meet up and fight.
Nothing ever happens bad when you do that. Yeah.
What could go wrong, right? So when Martinez arrived, instead of getting out and fighting, he decided to hit the victim with his vehicle and drive away. That's cheating. Yeah, just for the record.
I guess that means you won, kind of. I mean, you know.
He just ran him over. And officers say Martinez then, after hitting the other guy with his car and driving away, went to the police department and claimed to them that he had simply been driving over to the other coach's house to pick up some keys and that the other coach instead threw a rock at his windshield. Well, that story didn't quite pan out, stack up, hold water, if you will. The police performed a search on Martinez's vehicle, processed it for forensic evidence. That investigation resulted in corroboration of the victim's statement that he was indeed hit with the car.
Especially if his body is what broke the windshield, there's probably some DNA evidence of that.
They don't give a report on how that coach is doing because apparently he hit him. Great bodily harm is the charge, so hopefully he's okay. But this wrestling coach is arrested.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he's
alive.
We know that. We know that much. He was able to give a statement to police, so hopefully not too bad. But come on, man.
You know, other than probably middle school and maybe high school, I don't recall ever agreeing to meet up to fight anybody.
No, I see a lot of that on Twitter, though. Do you? I mean, not a lot, but too much of it.
I've been threatened as far as someone saying they're going to meet me out in the parking lot over something I've said on either station, and I never see them out there. You know, I always take it as a kind of a joke, but in this day and age, you're kind of like, yeah. So you look outside and see if there's someone loitering that you don't know.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would never make the threat myself, no.
Yeah. I love it when somebody responds to something else on Twitter and then says, hey, we can meet up and hash this out man to man.
I took my Twitter down. I'm probably being threatened right now.
You took it down?
No, I mean
for
the day. Yeah. So I'll check it when we're done with the show and find out that there'll be someone.
You may not want to, no. Just dumb. Anyway, he's in trouble now because they have the evidence they need on that. Also news from the NFL about the Denver Broncos stadium. They need a new naming rights sponsor out there, and they don't have one yet. So guess what they're going to call it for now? Broncos Stadium. I miss those days, don't you?
No, I can't stand Denver. To me, the houses suck. But, you know.
I miss the days when stadiums didn't have the long sponsor names.
No, I agree. Especially, I mean, I'm okay with the one-word names, but when it's a really long corporation.
Yeah, and when it changes like every 3 or 4 years, I hate that. I guess most of the rights, naming rights are, 10 years or something? Maybe they should be.
You know, and I understand to a certain standpoint, your name is mentioned every time the stadium is mentioned, and that is advertising, I guess.
Right.
But I don't believe I've heard the name of a stadium and thought, you know what, I'm going to go buy that product. But
oh, no, it's just, you know.
It's kind of bragging rights almost, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's just brand awareness for the sponsor, and again, millions of dollars are at stake. I mean, in fairness, Denver's only had 2 naming rights sponsors since that stadium opened in 2001. Most recently, it was Sports Authority Stadium. Did you even know that? I didn't even remember that.
No.
Sports Authority Stadium. But they took down the large signs with Sports Authority's name earlier this year because Sports Authority declared bankruptcy.
Is that one down the road still exists?
I don't think so.
I do remember
it. It's been gone a while.
Yeah.
They stopped making payments for the naming rights. That'll do it.
I wonder why.
Yeah. The name remained on the stadium for 2 seasons, despite the fact that Sports Authority made the decision to close all their stores in the summer of 2016. They were all closed by the summer of 2016.
You know what I wonder about that? If you have the naming rights, are you responsible for having it removed from the building, or is the team responsible for that?
I put that on the team or the stadium, whatever, commission, whatever runs the stadium.
Maybe they kept
that.
Thinking, they'll pull it out.
Why did they leave it on there for 2 years? There are no stores open, and they left Sports Authority on there for 2 years?
Maybe they didn't want a blank space up there. I don't know.
I don't know, man. That would just be too many jokes about that. I'd have to take that down. Be like having Butch Jones' picture still up at Neil. Oh, they did that too for a while.
Yeah, they did. When you don't have something to replace it, you just leave it there.
I guess. Chief Commercial Officer for the Broncos, Mac Freeman, said the team has had many productive conversations and they are confident they will find the right partner. The deal would help pay for stadium maintenance.
Just name it John Elway Stadium.
I mean, you can do stuff like that, but you can't do that because you got to make money, and Elway's not paying.
No, he's getting paid.
He's getting paid. Yeah. So, yeah, it was nice back in the day when stadiums were just named for real reasons or after someone famous or something like that. I like that. I miss that. We're never going back to that, are we?
Never.
That's one more revenue stream for a franchise. But at least for now, Broncos Stadium, did they put a sign up? I can't tell if they put a sign up that said Broncos Stadium, or did they just take down the Sports Authority sign? But for the record, when everybody refers to the game, it'll be at Broncos Stadium, no longer for the closed Sports Authority franchise.
Come to Broncos Stadium. No one cares about the Broncos enough to actually buy the rights to
That's
the
just
stadium.
You, man. The Broncos are big time. John Elway, man. Just because you hate. Just because you're a hater. They should probably not let you name Broncos Stadium.
Yeah, because that would be bad for them.
That would not be a good idea. Thanks for listening to The Huddle today here on ESPN Upstate. Richmond Weaver back in with us tomorrow as we come in on NBA Draft Day. And we'll certainly have the latest rumors, speculation, information, if there is any, on what's going to happen tomorrow night in the NBA Draft, which you can hear covered here live starting at 7 o'clock on ESPN Upstate. Keep an eye on baseball and off-season NFL news and College World Series, whatever, as well tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Straight Up with Sturge is coming up next. Thanks for listening. Stay cool this afternoon. And keep it here on ESPN Upstate. For Lonzo, I'm Greg McKinney. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.